Well, thanks for joining us here again at Calvary Temple Online. Hey, today's the last Sunday in January. We started 2023, and we're talking about a fresh start, having a fresh start, that this year of 2023 being the best year ever. And so take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 8. We're going to be going there today in John chapter 8. As you're going there, I have been doing this meme time where I find some memes that I find are humorous and want to share them with you. I like this first one. Eve is speaking to Adam here and she says, "Will you please pick up all your clothes?" As she looks down at all the leaves on the ground. You know, sometimes we can relate to different things, right? Speaking of cleaning things up, this is the first rule of house cleaning. While listening to power ballads, the toilet brush is never the microphone. I think that's some good wisdom right there. I thought this one was pretty funny. Got carpenter ants, A-U-N-T-S, some carpenter ants. Speaking of construction type things, this is when the concrete stairs are out of order. You ever notice that people do that? You know, you got concrete stairs, but everybody's waiting in line to get on the escalator. Nobody wants to walk up the stairs, I guess, anymore. Speaking of construction as well, though, somebody was pretty novel in putting this one together. Free snowman, some assembly required. Just piling it up. You know, we had snow this week, earlier this week, and just kind of reminded me of that. And speaking of snow, it reminded me of this one. This is the best snowman ever, if you think about it, right? Best snowman ever right here. Well, let's get into it today and let's pray as we begin. Father, I thank you so much today for your word that we're going to study today and get into. And Lord, I ask you to speak that word to our hearts. Challenge us today to be able to grow in you, to be able to be the kind of person that you called us to be and to love one another, to reach out with love and forgiveness to others and just to show your light in every area of our life and everywhere that we go, everything that we say and do. And so, Lord, I ask you to speak through this mouthpiece today and challenge us, Lord, to be more like you in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today's sermon is brought to you by Lucy and Linus. You know, the brother and sister in the Peanuts cartoon strip. Lucy is, as you probably know, she is the one who dispenses psychiatric advice for 5 cents. Now, Linus is the one with the security blanket, okay? They're brother and sister. And there's one particular cartoon in which Linus says to Lucy, "Why are you always so anxious to criticize me?" And Lucy says, "I just think that I have a knack of seeing other people's faults." Linus says, "What about your own faults?" And Lucy shrugs and she says, "I have a knack for overlooking them." Well, today we're going to look at a story where a few religious people have the same knack to an extreme. You know, we're in the final week, as I said, of a series of messages called A Fresh Start. Now, this series is about finding a new beginning in life. It's about taking advantage of the second chance that God offers his people. Now, we all need a second chance sometimes, don't we? And many people not only need a second chance, they need a second chance after that. You know, a third chance, a fourth chance. Well, we serve a God of a second chance, and that's what this series is really all about. God's grace is available to you as much as you need it, as often as you need it, and as long as you need it. You can never exhaust God's grace. Now, in the course of this series, several times I've used the analogy of hitting the reset button on your life and starting again. Now, the book of Lamentations tells us in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it tells us in effect that this is what God is doing every single day. Let me read it to you. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning." Now, I got to tell you, I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe that the Bible is true, every word of it. And this verse has two words that you can build your life on. The word "never," as in his mercy never comes to an end, and also the word "every," as in his mercy is brand new every morning. You know, it's my hope and my prayer that everyone that's watching this today is able to enjoy it and really to bask in the experience of God's grace and mercy in a new way every single day. It's my hope and it's my prayer that you become an enthusiastic and devoted second chancer. Second chancer. Now, some people really have a hard time with the idea of the second chance. I mean, usually not as it applies to themselves, actually, but as it applies to others. A second chance means in their eyes, that someone is getting away with something that they shouldn't be getting away with. And some people see it as their job to make sure that it doesn't happen. Now, these people have kind of an authority complex. They've set themselves up as judge and jury over the rest of the world. The problem is that while they're casting judgment on everybody else, they neglect to take a close look at themselves. It's kind of like Lucy. They have a knack for seeing everybody else's faults while overlooking their own. Well, today we're going to look at a story in which some very self-righteous, by the book, religious people were forced to do just that. Now, we've been in the Gospel of Luke, actually, for the past 4 weeks. And today, in our final message, we're going to skip over here to the book, the Gospel of John. Now, let's look at that. Why don't you look at that with me in John chapter 8. Let's begin reading in verse number 3. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Now the law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" Well, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. And so he stood up again and he said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and he wrote in the dust. Now, when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Here we have a woman who's been caught in the act of adultery. The CEV is even more specific. It actually says, caught sleeping with a man who isn't her husband. This woman is brought to Jesus. Now, according to the law of Moses, she should be put to death by stoning for such an act. Now, actually, the law in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy states that both the woman and the man should be put to death. So where was the man in the story? Well, we don't know. We're not given those details, but these religious people are ready to see this sinful woman pay the price. And so they asked Jesus what he thought should be done. Now, it was a setup. It was a trap. The religious leaders were always trying to bait and trap Jesus. Now, on this day, they were attempting to back Jesus into a corner in which he had to either contradict the law of Moses or he had to comply with the execution of a sinful woman, which in turn would contradict his teachings on loving others and showing grace and mercy. Whichever option Jesus chose, they could use it against him. So they demanded a response from Jesus. Now everybody was listening intently to see what he would say. I mean, what would he say to them? Well, nothing at first. He bent over and he wrote in the sand. He wrote in the dirt with his finger. What did he write? We have no idea. Now, John, the author of the gospel, he doesn't tell us what he's writing in the dirt. He just said that Jesus wrote with his finger on the ground. Well, they continue to ask him, "What do you say, Jesus? What should we do? You know the law. Should we obey the law?" They stayed silent for a few moments, and then finally he offered the accusers a very simple response. He said, in effect, "All right, go ahead and stone the woman. Put her to death as you think the law allows you to do." And then he gave one stipulation. "But let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." And then he went back to writing in the sand. And one by one we find, beginning with the oldest, the accusing men put down their stones and they walked away. Now, everybody has a theory about the unspoken parts of this story. Here's my theory if you want it. The oldest of the group would have been in the front of the group, and as accusers, they would have been really leading the charge. So being in the front of the group, they would have been the first to be able to see what Jesus was writing in the sand. And since Jesus has just said, "Let the one who's never sinned throw the first stone," maybe his writing was a preemptive strike against anyone who might actually claim to be without sin. You know, maybe he wrote in the dirt there, maybe he wrote, "One of you is an embezzler. One of you is having an affair. One of you committed murder. One of you is plotting to rob your neighbor, and so on. He kept going. And the older men, the ones standing closest to Jesus, they looked down and they saw what he had written and they said, yikes, he knows something about me. I'll just leave this rock here and I'll be on my way. And as the older men left, the younger men stepped forward and made the very same discovery, that Jesus had written some specific things in the sand that each man couldn't ignore. And so one by one, they laid down their stones and they walked away. Now, that's just my theory, but it really kind of seems to fit in my opinion. Now, what does all this have to do, though, with a fresh start or with starting over, with hitting that reset button? Well, in order to live in the newness of God's grace and his mercy every day of your life, you have to let go of the all too human tendency to judge others. You have to, as business consultant Jeff Gittimer says, resign your position as general manager of the universe and let somebody else be in charge for a while you work on improving you. Now, it's really as simple as this. You can't be successful in your new life if you're casting judgment on others. If you want to experience a new beginning in any area of your life, whether it's your family, your marriage, your relationship to God, your friendships, or really anything else, you have to let go of the holier-than-thou tendencies and treat others with the same grace that you received in your life. Last week, I told you about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, here's another quote from his classic work, the book, The Cost of Discipleship. He says this, by judging others, we blind ourselves to our own evil and to the grace which others are just as entitled to as we are. In other words, you can't judge others and walk in the newness of life. That spirit of condemnation will eat at your soul like a cancer until it destroys every good thing that you've tried to create for yourself. So today I want to talk to you about what it really means to be a second chancer in life and how you can avoid that, well, at least I'm not as bad as those other people syndrome that plagues so many people who call themselves Christians. Do you want to experience God's never-ending grace new every morning? Do you want to live in the land of the second chance? Well, if so, then I challenge you to closely observe three nevers that all second chancers live by. Three nevers that second chancers live by. You ready? First of all, number one, second chancers never forget that they received the second chance. They never forget that they received the second chance. In the book of Matthew chapter 18, Jesus told a story about a man who owed the king thousands of dollars, a debt that he had no way of paying. Now the king ordered the man to be sent to prison, but the man begged for mercy for the king. And he said, please have patience on me. I will pay you eventually. Well, the king, having mercy, released the man and forgave his debt. He owed this king thousands. And the king said, forget it. You owe me nothing now. Your debt's forgiven. Well, later that same man came across a fellow servant who owed him just a few dollars. And the Bible said that he began to choke the servant, demanding that he be paid. The fellow servant begged for mercy, saying, please be patient with me. I'll pay you when I can. But the man refused. He put his fellow servant in a debtor's prison. Well, eventually, word got back to the king about what had happened. This is the man whose giant debt had been forgiven, and he had been shown mercy by the king, and he had shown no mercy to a fellow servant who owed him such a small amount. Well, the king, when he heard it, was furious. Matthew chapter 18, verse 32. Then the king called in the man that he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? In his anger, the king had the man sent to prison where he was sentenced to stay until his debt had been paid. Now, Jesus told that story to, I believe, remind us to never forget that you have been forgiven a tremendous debt. Others deserve the same mercy that God has shown you. You know, the sinful woman's accusers that day didn't understand that their relationship with God is based upon grace, not on merit. They had forgotten about their own debt. You know, anytime you're tempted to judge someone else, flip through your own, you know, back pages and remind yourself of the grace that God's already extended to you. Never forget that God has given you a second chance. Now, let me just add here. Don't just forget about it, but don't live in any guilt because of it. Instead, live in thankfulness because you've been given a second chance. Don't let that guilt just wreak havoc in your life, but live in thankfulness to God that he has given you that second chance. Secondly, number two, second chancers never build themselves up by putting others down. They never build themselves up by putting others down. Unfortunately, I see this happen all the time. I run across people who think that it makes them look better if they put other people down. They try to make everyone else look bad in order to try to make themselves look good. It's kind of like this meme that I came across says, blowing out someone else's candle doesn't make yours shine any brighter. Jesus addressed this in another story about two men who went into the temple to pray. One was a religious Pharisee and one was a sinful tax collector. And the Pharisee stood alone at the front and he prayed, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people, cheaters and sinners and adulterers. And I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. And the tax collector, he stood at the back of the temple, not daring to even stand up front with the religious elite. He wouldn't lift his eyes to heaven, but instead he beat his chest and he said, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. And then Jesus says here in Luke chapter 18, verse 14, he said, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You know, this story kind of reminds me of something that Thomas Carlyle said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it slightly here, but he said, confess your own sins, not your neighbor's sin. The greatest fault is to be conscious of none but the faults of others. In fact, let me give you a fair warning. If your spiritual defense is, well, at least I'm not as bad as some people, then you're probably not going to have a great deal of success in your Christian walk. You know, that's a shaky foundation for the Christian life. God, I thank you that I am better than the worst people that I know. And yet, that's what many people base their entire spiritual experience on. You know, their hope of salvation is in the fact that they're better than others. They're not as bad as other people, certain other people. Now listen, the fact is that you are probably better than others, at least some of them, I would say. But I mean, there's some pretty bad people out there, and I can assure you that you're not among the worst of them. But I can also assure you that this distinction will not help you at all in your relationship with God. You know, it says Adrian Rogers used to say, God doesn't grade on a curve. He grades by the cross. You received your salvation the same way that everybody else has to receive theirs. And that is by the free gift of God's grace through his son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as a ransom for our sins. Second chancers, they don't trust in their own righteousness, and they never try to inflate their own righteousness by comparing themselves to others or by putting them down. Second chancers put their hope in the cross, not in some mythical spiritual curve. Now, thirdly, if you want to live every day basking in the newness of God's never-ending mercy, here's a third never to keep in mind, and that is number three, second chancers never pass up a chance to pass it on. You see, one day Jesus and his disciples were passing through Samaria. And while his disciples went into town to buy supplies, Jesus waited for them beside a well for them to return. Well, at midday, a woman came along to draw water from the well. Well, Jesus struck up a conversation with her. Now, this was actually unusual that a Jewish man would make conversation with a Samaritan woman, and especially this woman, because she had a sinful past. Still, in spite of her past, Jesus talked to her about her life. And about what really it means to worship God. And he told her about the living water that he could give her, that it would take away her thirst and it would satisfy her soul and it would lead her to eternal life. Now, usually all the other women went to the well early in the morning to draw water. But this woman came at midday, probably to avoid them actually, because she considered herself too sinful to take part in the social life of the community. But this all changed after her encounter with Jesus that day. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 28, the woman left her water jar beside the well, and she ran back into the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. You see, that's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to pass it on. You know, that's what second chancers do. They pass on grace, not guilt, but grace. That leads people to Jesus, not to judgment, but to Jesus. Sometimes that's all the religious people are interested in doing, just pointing a finger at what's wrong in other people instead of pointing the way to Jesus. You know, this is how Billy Graham summed up his ministry. He said, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. Now imagine for a moment a different kind of scenario that could have taken place here in John chapter 8. Imagine that a group of men brought a woman to Jesus and they said to him, Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Now we know this is a very serious sin. Some of us know firsthand how destructive it can be. We also know that we serve a merciful God who doesn't treat us, you know, the way that our sin deserves, but has compassion on his children. And so Jesus, this is our question. How can we restore this woman? How can we help her to put her life back together again and to rebuild her marriage? How can we help her to experience the same kind of mercy that we've experienced in our lives? The mercy which is never ending and is new every morning. Now, can you imagine such a conversation taking place? Now, no Pharisee would ever say such a thing, but I tell you, a second chancer would. And that's because second chancers understand what Paul was saying in the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, where he said, dear brothers and sisters, if someone is overcome with some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall in the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way, obey the law of Christ. You know what the difference in Paul's attitude and the attitude of the religious leaders who confronted Jesus on that day was? You see, he had that attitude, I know what it's like to be forgiven. I know what it's like to have someone come into your life and demonstrate God's mercy. I know what it's like to start over, to get another chance to do things right, to have a fresh start. And that's why I want to share it with others. You see, that's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you'll shout it from the mountaintops because you want the world to know that the Lord of love has come to you and you want to pass it on. You know, in closing, I want you to understand he is the God of the second chance. And that's what this series really has been about. It's about a fresh start, a second chance, a new beginning. And so in wrapping up this series, I'll take a final look at the steps to new life that we discovered here in the previous weeks. You see, in week number one, we talked about casting your net again and again and again. Then you go out into the deep and you cast your net, not just once, but again and again and again until God fills it to overflowing. In week number two, we talked about closing the door on the past, that you stop looking behind you and you start looking only at what lies ahead. In week number three, we talked about keeping first things first with your relationship with God and with others. That means that you strive to love first and serve second. Now, both are essential, but love comes first. So we talked about putting those first things first. And then last week, we talked about living your best possible life here and now. The way that you do that is not by clinging to life, you know, but it's by denying yourself, taking up your cross daily, and following Jesus. This means that you live your life according to not my will, Father, but your will be done, that we follow and surrender what God has for us in our life. And today, we've talked about the three nevers that second chancers need to observe. You never forget that you need a second chance. You never build yourself up by putting others down, and you never pass up a chance to pass it on. You know, like Lucy in the Peanuts cartoon, you may have a knack for pointing out the faults of others and overlooking your own faults, but this knack has the potential to destroy your spiritual life. When you're tempted to throw the rock of judgment on somebody who's fallen, hit the pause button and take a moment to remember who you are and remember how much that you need God's grace to be at work in your life, and then put down the rock. Instead of casting the first stone, take the first step toward mercy and reconciliation into a broken person's life. Nobody's asking you to become their enabler or endorse their wrongdoing or to condone their sin. But Jesus is asking you, actually he's challenging you, to knock off this knack of having our focus on the faults of others and to put down the rock of judgment, to reach out instead with open arms of mercy and of reconciliation toward others. That we show love, that we don't judge others, but we show them love and mercy and grace. Why? Because we're second chancers, because God's given us a second chance. And so today, if you've never received him into your life, if you've never received that second chance that he's offering to you, I want you to know God loves you so much. He showed his love upon the cross of Calvary when he willingly came and gave his life to pay the price for your sins. He paid the debt that you owed because of the sin in your life. And that debt that he paid it once and for all. Jesus is not casting condemnation or judgment on any of us, but he came to show us love and mercy and grace. And so if you never opened your life and your heart to receive God into your life and to ask Jesus to come in to be your Lord and Savior, to receive that forgiveness, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you gave your life to pay a debt that you didn't owe, but that debt that I owed instead. Thank you that I'm forgiven once and for all. I ask you to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Today I'm going to start with that second chance that you're offering to me right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want you in that comment section to say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer because I want to celebrate with you. We want to just rejoice that God is doing a work in your life and he's giving you that second chance. You know, every one of us has been given a second chance, but never forget that we need that second chance. And also we need to remember the other parts of this message, that don't forget that you don't build yourself up by putting others down, and that you never pass up a chance to pass on that second chance to others. His love, his mercy. So let's be people who avoid judging others, but look for ways to show love, the love of God everywhere that we go. Because we've been forgiven, we can show that forgiveness to others. So Father, we thank you today for your love again, your mercy, your grace toward us. Help us, Lord, to not be judgmental, to not bring others down, to think that that's going to raise us up. Help us to never forget that you gave us a second chance, a fresh start on life, and that your mercies are new every morning. And so, Lord, help us to pass that on to others everywhere we go, every time that we have a contact with someone, that we're able to let your light shine through us and show your love. We just give you the praise and the glory for all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.